Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our psalm of the day, the appointed psalm, Psalm 1. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, you may remember the words of your catechism, the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And what does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Years back, one of the members of our congregation was coming through the line at the end of church, and he said to me, he said, "You know why I come to church?" And then he answered his own question. He said, "All week long I go out there in the world and the world just grinds me down and grinds me down until I'm not thinking straight anymore. And I come here to hear the Lord's voice. I come here to get resharpened." I like that word picture he used. And when he used that, it put me in mind of when I was in high school. Up in Washington State, I was working with a fellow who had a little operation that did logging and cutting boards. Now, a little operation, don't think of one of our mills around here. This was a small outfit. We would go out in the woods and fell the timber, and then we would section it, and then we would run a cable into the woods hooked onto a World War II bomb service truck, and we would run the cable and bring the logs in and try to use the PV to twist them a little bit in the soil and then pull them along all the way out to the road. And this fellow who had the operation, he had a small sawmill as well, too. And again, don't think about the big mills that we have around here. What it was a track, and on top of the track was a VW engine, Volkswagen engine, and the Volkswagen engine ran a vertical saw blade, big saw blade, and then it ran two horizontal saw blades like this, and so you can see how you can make your boards as you would cut them. Now, the log didn't go along the saw went along the track along the log. It was a very interesting thing to watch with that Volkswagen engine. We started with a pull cable, too. So, now and again, though, as we were sawing the wood, my boss would stop and everything would shut down and he would go along with a small hand file and sharpen all the teeth of the saw. And I don't know how he knew when to do that. Maybe the engine was laboring or maybe it was starting to scorch where the blades were, but he would stop and sharpen the teeth. Now, somebody passing by might see him doing that or might see the rest of us taking a nice long break while he did it. And they might say, "Well, what are you wasting your time for? There's wood to cut. There's boards to be made. Why are you stopping?" Well, if you don't sharpen the teeth, sooner or later you're going to be what? You're going to be stopping anyway. You are going to be stopping as your motor begins to burn up and everything slows down to a crawl and then everything stops altogether and you've got no working equipment, no boards, no nothing. And so, Psalm 1, which describes the very same thing. And you won't find logging mentioned in there. But it describes the very same thing. It says, "Blessed are those who do not walk in the advice of the wicked. Blessed are those who do not stand in the pathway of sinners. Blessed are those who do not sit in the seat of mockers." And you can kind of trace a progression there. You're first of all walking, moving around. All of a sudden something brings you to a stop. And then all of a sudden, you're sitting down. The whole operation shuts down. And again, you can trace the progression. Blessed are those who do not walk in the counsel or the advice of the wicked. In other words, your ears are hearing and your eyes are seeing what unbelieving people do. And it starts to sound normal, which is scary. And then you come to a stop and you stand in the pathway of sinners, and by continuous association with people who don't believe in the Lord, the way that they live doesn't appear to be questionable anymore. And then you sit down. The whole operation shuts down as you join in with those who maybe mock the Lord. Now, why would that happen? Well, there's probably many reasons, but Psalm 1 points out one. One reason, and that is, simply put, maybe you didn't sharpen your saw. Maybe you just went out there and you started felling trees and you started cutting boards and you figured that the devil and the world and the sinful nature was just the way the preacher talks, because you had things to do and you had places to be and you had kids to raise and you had deadlines to meet and you took pride in your full schedule and your heavy workload, because after all, who has time to sit around doing nothing like sharpening the saw? Who has time for that? Well, I could ask you, what if you went to the hospital and you saw the people in the hospital sterilizing the surgical instruments? Would you say, well, they're not doing surgery, so they're doing nothing? Is that what you would say? Or if you saw a good teacher who wants to be a better teacher and they step out of the classroom for a few months to go back to school, what would you say? Well, they're doing nothing. Or what if you saw a hunter right before the season cleaning his gun and oiling it and collecting his ammunition and seeing what he has, taking stock? Would you say, well, he's not out in the woods, he's not pulling the trigger, therefore he's doing nothing? All of those things are necessary. What if you saw a child of God who said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord? What if a child of God said, you know, I'm just getting worn down by this world, by all these people who say this and they do that, and it's got nothing to do with what's true or good or right or clean, and I need to open my Bible and I need to hear another's voice and I need to be in the Lord's house? Would you say, well, you're doing nothing? Or would you say, you need to sharpen your saw, and that's not doing nothing? What does Psalm 1 say? It says, blessed is that person who walks not in the advice of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. And that's what you got to deal with day in and day out. That's what dulls your saw blade. Instead of those things, it says, blessed is that person whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And the point being, very simply, sometimes you just have to sharpen your saw. Sometimes it's got to be kept sharp. Otherwise, everything goes downhill. Or if it helps, use the picture in Psalm 1. But your delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, and on his word you meditate day and night. You are like a tree planted alongside of streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In everything that you do, you prosper. The wicked are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. The point there being that God's word, whether you're reading it or whether you're in his house listening to it or studying it, God's word is like the irrigation ditches that we have in this valley that bring the water to people's properties. Now, if you've lived elsewhere in our country, you know there are places in the U.S. where you don't need irrigation ditches. There are places where you can depend entirely upon rainfall and it'll take you through the season, and isn't that wonderful? But here in Medford, that will not work. Or it will work only about 6 months out of the year. And unless you're planning to make a living out of growing buckbrush, what do you need? You need the irrigation ditch. You need the water. And a child of God is no such fool as to think that they can get by in this world without their faith drying up. This world will do it to you. The tree has got to be planted where the roots can drink God's word, where you can hear about Jesus, where you can be shown Jesus, where you can be reminded about Jesus and what he did on the cross and all that he said for you, where you can put roots down so that the wind doesn't knock the tree over, where you can send out leaves that lean into the light, where you can bear fruit that honors the Lord and blesses other people. Now the wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff that the wind drives away. And the chaff does just fine. It sits piled up on the ground with not a care in the world until the wind comes along, the wind of judgment, and blows it all away. And the picture there is of the wind whirling the chaff around. That's actually what the word in the original language means. It's like the little tornadoes, little dust devils. It gets whirled away. It's got nothing to anchor to and nothing to hold on to. It cannot prevent its own loss or destruction, and therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He gave them faith, but the way of the wicked will perish. No wonder Psalm 1 tells you right from the get-go, blessed is that person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, that'll wear you down, or stand in the way of sinners, that'll wear you down, or sit in the seat of scoffers, that'll dull your blade, but instead your delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law you meditate day and night. And so, third commandment, remember the what? Sabbath day, by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we don't despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.